All right, 3, 2, 1, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we got everybody in there. How's everyone doing on this cool, refreshing?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing well. Oh, damn it. That's right. We're a no-well situation here.
Oh, man.
How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing fine.
Hey. Yeah,
I'm not going to step into that one.
No, because we don't like well. Or maybe it's me, and I just can't remember to say it. I always say good. And I feel like an idiot afterwards.
It's all good.
Nope. So we were having a what did we say we're going to call this? Did we think of a name yesterday? Because part of the problem is that we're on a schedule, a podcast schedule, which is Mondays and Thursdays. But there's a lot of people wanting to do podcasts. So like if we do this podcast and it gets posted in the scheduling post, it won't be till like 2 weeks from now. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just posting it today, and we're going to have to call it a name.
Oh, that's right. I thought we were like, I don't know, what's today? Thursday morning conversation with Tom Marquino?
No, with the Rat Pack. Well, that's probably that name's probably been taken. But yeah, so we're just going to have Pat, why don't you introduce yourself, Pat?
Hey, guys, I'm Pat Gallagher. I do video for Shell Brothers as well as some other marketing stuff.
So Pat, and this is a great example. So Pat did a podcast yesterday for Project Kudos. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We had a great time.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having me.
That podcast won't be posted for a week.
Yeah, but you know, this one takes priority because it's probably going to be more interesting.
Hey, you're the one that has to go back there. Listen, that was, you know what? And I asked you when you came in, was the podcast all right? And you said it was fantastic and you had a great time. And you know, it is taking simple things like that, simple, you know, Project Kudos, but still trying to put a little bit of information out there about it to try to put a little light on it because I didn't really know. So it was important. But this is, you know, what did I say? I texted you yesterday. Yesterday was business. Today is fun.
Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I like having fun.
But, you know, it was interesting because you do a lot of the commercials and shoot a lot of the video and stuff for the Shell Brothers.
I do. Yep.
And I thought we'll bring Carlos in corporate because he is...
You always say
that. You are. Oh, wait a minute.
Jeez.
I already pissed off corporate. Hold on.
Corporate Carlos?
Yeah, corporate. No, he's Carlos over 50 because he's seen 50 Pearl Jam concerts. I'm Tom, just 9, and we're going to have to give you...
Zero.
Pat, zero.
Big zip.
Yeah. Pat, they're okay.
I like them.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll kill you later. So today's podcast is brought to you by Urban Float, the premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. Guests float in a sensory managed environment in 1,200 pounds. And I will say that on Stranger Things, they use 1,400 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. But environment at 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salt, which provide profound health benefits for those who are seeking pain relief, stress management, recovery, and simply want to disconnect from an overconnected world. Did you make this a shorter version yet? Who do we talk to about that?
I have to escalate that to find out the person who did that.
De-escalate it. Let's de-escalate it. 302-232-3141. 302-232-3141 to schedule your first float or use code FIRSTTIMER. No. Sorry. First time. It's first time at checkout when you visit urbanfloat.com. Urban Float is located near... Rosenfeld's.
Rosenfeld's Deli. Yeah. Shout out to those guys. Good sandwiches.
Well, they've been on the podcast. Anybody that's been on the podcast, we give a shout out
to.
Yeah. Got to.
So that's our sponsor, and we appreciate them. So thank you. All right. So, guys, let's have fun.
Let's do it.
So, you talked yesterday about drones. You know, I don't know if you know Carlos. I don't know if you knew this about Carlos, but Carlos worked for GoPro.
That's very cool. Yeah, I think you mentioned that yesterday.
Dropped. Yeah. I'm like,
I meant to bring my GoPro drone in here to show you guys. I still have one. It was pretty, you know, it was cool when I came out.
He meant to bring it in, but the room isn't big enough for it. So
You're pretty right. You're all pretty close about that. Thing is huge.
Yeah.
But you talked about drones. What's going on with drones in your life?
Drones have been, you know, pretty.
Do you
big.
Have your drone license?
I do, yeah. I've got it through Shell Brothers. Me and another guy that I work with have had them for years. And actually, when I was an intern for Shell Brothers 4 years ago, when I was still in college, one of my you know, managers, I guess you would say, said, hey, we have this drone, go fly it. And it was Inspire 2, or an Inspire 1 at the time, DJI, which is a great drone. And I flew it, and I crashed it. So I've crashed probably four of them.
Did you break it?
Yeah, I broke it.
I don't think you can crash the Inspire without breaking it.
No, it's, you know, it's a carbon fiber frame, but typically there's so many things kind of hanging off of it that, you know, you're going to break something. But, you know, one of the benefits of working at Shell Brothers is they're very cool about, you know, equipment is
fixing it.
Yeah. Equipment is, you know,
just tools.
It's going to be, it's, you know, like a GoPro, it's going to get dirty. It's going to get beat up. And you know, that's just part of the job. So I've crashed a few in my days, but, yeah, typically it's a DJI model of some sort.
I lost my DJI.
Did you? Which one were you?
Mavic Pro.
Mavic, yeah.
I didn't lose it. I mean, I just ran out of gas and it landed in a tree.
Oh.
Like an 80-foot oak tree.
Well, yeah, that'll do it.
I was
Were you getting the warning? Like, hey, bring it back?
Well, and I think I shared the story, and this is funny because I was trying to film the crop duster guy. And he's not. He wasn't crop dusting. He was actually spraying. And you know the who's the great photographer? Local photographer. He has all the books. Probably.
Oh, Kevin Fleming.
Yeah, Kevin. He has a great shot, and I think he took it from a helicopter, but of a crop spray plane, and the spray spins off the wingtips.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I'm gonna get that. I got that. So I'm and away it goes, and I live about four fields over, and. It got there, and I could see it, and I was filming it, and then it's like, you know, started warning me that the battery was low, and I'm like, just a couple more.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, race it home, and then it just got to just before Fieldwood and just landed.
So you were doing that while he was spraying the fields?
Yep.
Ooh.
No, I'm sorry. Do you have something to say about that? I mean, any more than you just said with all that humming and moaning?
A little judgment statement there.
A little bit.
Was I judging in that tone?
Well, I will say, and I hear you, and I do actually respect an airplane. So I took it from he was actually coming like over the outlets and coming along Glade Road, whatever that road. I was shooting from like the trees behind. I would never, you know, I tried to get my drone license. I mean, I definitely don't, and I think we'll probably end up talking about this. I think the drone world is kind of struggling because they keep restricting the drones more and more because of idiots.
Yeah.
Wild West. Yeah. You know? It was more wild back when I was a GoPro, but now it's definitely, there's more regulation.
And they have a nice, they upload the app. In the app, every time you fly the drone, it probably asks you. It's probably been a new upload, right?
Yeah, you know,
I'm sure the crop
ways around it.
I'm sure, the crop duster guy saw your drone, was like, "Oh, we're not going to have that here. Press the button, out of battery." He's like, "Nope, we're not going to have that here."
You just killed it.
Yeah, well, pilots are like, the real pilots are like having like a magic drone kill button on their cockpit.
They should.
Well, Rob was here, he showed me a video of a local guy. Who was flying his drone at the Lewis Fireworks in the fireworks?
Yeah, I saw.
Did you see that?
I saw a drone at the Rehoboth Fireworks flying above.
But he showed me the footage from the drone. He was in the fire. I mean, they were like he was above because I guess Lewis shot theirs off from a barge.
Yeah,
And he was above the barge.
I mean,
nice.
That's
worst thing that'll happen is your drone gets. You know, destroyed.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing that happens is they go, you know, there's just another idiot up there flying drones.
That's true.
That's true. I mean, I don't give a shit about his drone.
No, neither do I. I think it's the safety thing, you know, flying over crowds of people, that's more of a concern. Flying near airplanes and stuff.
Well, and last year at the fireworks in Rehoboth, I saw about 8 drones.
Yeah.
This year I saw maybe 1.
I saw 1 too.
I saw 1. Mm-hmm. So that was better. I don't know if people are... They just all lost their drones?
I would think that the local police would take that dude or whoever, you know, follow that drone back to its, you know, takeoff zone and, you know, give that dude a citation.
Well, you know? when I flew my drone for the fireworks 2 years ago, I parked by, I think I told, over there by the old Gold's Gym. Mm-hmm. So I was... You're not following me. Right. I'm out of the quadrant zone.
Right.
But I also respected it. Because every time I fly something like that, I feel like I'm already really being bad.
Right.
Like, oh, God.
Right.
Yeah. So I stayed back. I filmed it. It wasn't even great footage.
Right.
Because you're still shooting at night. It's still, But it is what it is. So is that what you're using for? Do you have your own personal drone, or do you get to just use Shell's?
Shell's drones, and it's pretty cool because Chris Shell, you know, the CEO, he's very adamant about having the latest and greatest technology. Probably about a year ago, he texted me at like 9:30 at night, 10 p.m. He was like, "Hey, do we have the Inspire 2 yet?" Mm-hmm. I said, "No, but we can."
We can write that off.
I just need the Amex.
Yeah.
So can we write that off?
I went on B&H and I had it in like B&H. 3 days. So yeah, it's an incredible drone. I mean, the low light capabilities on that, and it's got, you know, the Micro Four Thirds lens mount. And then we also
it's
have
got what? Say that again.
A Micro Four Thirds lens mount, so you can actually switch out on that size sensor.
That whole lens comes off.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like a mini camera.
Well, Rob was saying the only downfall about the Inspire is that when that thing takes off, you know, it's not like you just stealth. There's no stealthing with the Inspire. No. It sounds like a small helicopter.
That's what the GoPro drone sounds like. Yeah. I mean, you're going to hold onto your hat. Yeah. You know? Exactly.
Swarm of bees kind of sound. Yeah. So, I kind of use them for different applications. Yeah.
I sent you. Did you like that video I sent you?
I did, yeah.
That was cool, right?
Yeah,
very neat. With the Mavic.
And that was over Gordon's Pond. I fly there quite a bit. One of my favorite spots to fly, for sure.
Well, if you can find like the right moment where you have just the perfect calm water and the great reflection, that island looks like it's just floating.
It is, yeah. I've gotten some cool stuff out there. That almost looks like something from Africa, like with the haze real low. And yeah. It's really neat. But great place to fly, especially in like October. I think October is my favorite time.
Well, and I think that's actually a great point, because if you want to try to fly those drones around here in the middle of summer, you're asking for trouble. But if you're quietly out here in the fall or in the winter or late winter, I mean, not many people bug you.
That's kind of my policy is, you know, during the summer, it's really not worth the attention that you get. Even if people are just interested in what you're doing, they're coming over and trying to have full-on conversations with you. Oh, what kind of drone is that? What is this? What is that? And you're trying to operate, you know, a piece of machinery that you really shouldn't be having a conversation with some guy.
Yeah. You go,
I just say,
I am busy here.
I just kind of, you know.
Like Jimmy Fallon on Saturday Night Live. Remember that one? Yeah. When he was the tech guy. When he'd have to come in. Watch out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Don't touch it again.
Did you know talking and drone flying is like drunk driving? Can you leave me alone, please?
Well, I should just wear like a t-shirt that says, I can't talk right now.
Yeah. Right, I'm droning.
I'm droning.
Didn't you say you had your drone out? Weren't you flying recently?
Well, I took it out for my brother-in-law's 50th birthday party just to fly around. There was like 35 people at my house, so I wanted to capture a little footage of everybody playing in the backyard and playing cornhole and people in the front yard.
Does that drone run on the GoPro app that runs the same, like for the GoPro?
So it has its own handheld just like every other drone. Right. And then the content, you can just wirelessly through Bluetooth or Wi-Fi transfer it through the GoPro app. You control it through its own handheld and then you use the GoPro app to get the content.
I do think GoPro has done a great job with their app.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's awesome. Because I uploaded a lot of
They really missed the boat, though, didn't they? I mean, they were the first with the HD camera that's the size of a wallet. They could have just totally...
DJI's really
I don't think they did bad.
Well, right.
You want to share a little of your story?
No, I mean, DJI and, you know, when I was with GoPro when they launched Karma, the drone, and... And I was in a lot of those meetings and product management meetings and stuff. And,
Do you think they could have done better?
Two years earlier.
Well,
that to me would have been the sweet spot, you know, where obviously GoPro with their camera, their first of its kind action camera, right?
Right.
So they could have taken that camera and wrapped a drone around it. Right at the beginning, you know, try to have a parallel path like DJI and the other companies, but they just waited way too long, in my opinion.
Well, and I think they also, I think they also kind of wanted to utilize the gimbal, the camera, the drone, all like, but being able to use them in different, like it's you can pull the gimbal out of the drone right. and use the gimbal, you take the gimbal, slide it in the drone and it becomes right. part of the drone. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I think their problem is they had some drone issues. Like,
well, the first batch of 70, I believe.
Fell out of the sky.
Yeah. The battery disconnected. And
whoops.
Mid-flight. But no, the drone itself goes 30 miles an hour. I mean, it's powerful. Again, it's the whole action sports theme again, right? So it's designed to follow skiers and, you know, surfers and, you know, snowboarders down Black Diamond, you know, it can follow and do all that crazy stuff.
I think that's the problem with GoPro is it requires some, like, really badass shit you have to do. You know, it's like, how come it's not doing that here on my couch? Yeah. It's like, yeah. I'm not getting that action.
That in itself is what Nick was striving to do, was to try to connect with the normal Joes, right? Because it was, and it still is today, the GoPro is still ubiquitous with action sports. You know, race car driving, you know, extreme sports, surfing was its, you know, the birth of GoPro. But, you know, it has gotten ubiquitous with, you know, so we've, through 2015 to today, they're trying to continue to create that vertical of, hey, it's just the camera, use it for, you know, when you're walking your dog and, you know, you're having family time and you're jogging, you know.
Pat, do you have a GoPro? Save things.
We have GoPros at Chell Brothers.
Actually, you probably know, the best ones.
Yeah.
The newest one.
Hero 7 Blacks.
Nice.
Boom.
They're beautiful. Actually, boom. You know, we talked a little bit about Firefly yesterday. We don't get press passes, so we can't bring in full-size DSLRs. So pretty much all of the content in our Firefly recap video is GoPro, Karma Grip stuff. This year, I have to say, we bought some DJI action cameras. Very impressed with those, as well as the Pocket Osmos, which is basically the same camera that's on the Mavic 2 Pro, but on this tiny little gimbal. And the whole thing's about this.
Okay, thanks, Pat, for coming on. Yeah. Take care.
Hey, wow. Someone just sucked all the air right out of the room.
You know, it was great to have you.
I think competition's good, right?
Competition's good. Actually, you don't work for GoPro anymore.
No, but
he has brand loyalty.
I've still got a lot of stock in the company.
Well, I mean, GoPro, you know.
I have a GoPro gimbal, so.
Yeah. Do you have the Karma Grip?
I do.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's
love
a cool
the Karma
tool.
Grip.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a cool tool.
And it's great. It's, you know, you can do so many cool things with that and, you know, awesome angles. And it's just incredible for that type of setting where you're in tight quarters and you want to get cool shots.
Yep.
It's really great.
Where do we find all your stuff? Because I've never seen that stuff.
So I have a website, just personal, like portfolio website, patrickcgallagher.com. And then I just kind of, you know, the stuff on the Shell Brothers website is mostly mine.
Okay. So you can find all your stuff on the Shell Brothers website, even the Firefly stuff?
Yeah, we have the Firefly video on our gallery on the website under fun stuff, I believe.
Maybe you can get me and Carlos like as assistants.
Yeah,
for you next for year sure. at Firefly. Sure. Get us in that special front part.
Well, the front part.
You know that part.
As long as
where there's not many people.
Can just get some GoPros.
The pretty people are all pretty people go. Pretty people's own.
Yeah, and me. It's cool.
Hey-o. Well, we'll come stink it up.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, hey, yeah. So anyway, that's awesome. I'm still trying to think about getting into Firefly. Now I'm all excited.
Hey, well, we can make it work.
Well, and I will try to get Carlos to go this year.
I've been a few years. It's been a while. I haven't gone in probably the past two or three, but I've been. I think the last time I was there, I saw it was the Chili Peppers that were headlining.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
How were they?
It was fun. Yeah, it was super fun.
Buddy told me they just come out, they take care of, just sing the music, they don't even talk, and then they walk off the stage.
Out of there, really.
There's no chit-chat.
I was out of there. Huh.
I'm still playing a lot of Panic at the Disco. I don't know why. I just had such a great time. I love that band. Become a big fan of Brandon Urie. Follow him on Twitter now.
Facebook toll of the headlining band every year for Firefly. Guess who wins?
Who?
Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
I don't even know why I even asked that. I should have known that. I wasn't even sure what the
Thank
question
you, Pat.
Was yet.
You can now stay.
I'm trying
I need
to
some water.
Redeem
I think
myself.
I'm dehydrated.
You're like, who?
What are you saying?
Pearl Jam brought to you by DJI.
You know what I did this morning, guys? I did a Facebook Live.
Oh, hey. Cool. How'd it go?
I don't know.
Did you get banned?
Hey, everybody, banned. Oh, jeez.
You're in trouble.
Well, but it's kind of the thing that we have to do.
It is, yeah.
It's just, I watched this thing this weekend about this young girl coming up through NASCAR, and she's got a huge following because she does Facebook Live after practice, before practice, after meetings. Mm-hmm. She keeps everybody involved. She just doesn't care. She just does it, and silly, weird as it is, people love it. And I almost feel like...
you could mount her phone or a GoPro and do a Facebook Live right here.
Well, I just did one. I just told them that you guys were coming on the podcast, and you know we'll be posting it later. I'm going to have to start doing that. I'm going to have to start looking at my face, talking in the camera, which is horrible. It's like the worst. Do you like FaceTime?
I hate it.
It's terrible, right?
It's awful, yeah.
But you just got to go with it.
Somebody FaceTimes me, I panic. You know?
Do you?
Flip the lens the other way. Blink.
Yeah, here's my dog. Right.
My knee. Right. Oh, where's your hair? And face. But I tried it. We'll see how it works. I want to start doing it. I'm just going to, you know, put the shame and embarrassment aside and just start. Because I feel like just posting a picture, like, oh, we're going to post this podcast, like I did yesterday. I almost wasn't sure if that was a mistake, posting that picture of us a week before the podcast gets posted. Now I'm like, God, now I should have waited.
Wow, such a noob.
I am a new. Well, give me your advice, corporate. Go, corporate. Go.
No, I mean, you should release the content on time, you know, with the podcast all at once.
Right. So I shouldn't have posted the picture.
Unless you're going to release the podcast with it.
You can always post it again.
Or you can repost it.
I will.
It.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good idea. But there you go. I think I'm going to start doing like little live Facebook Live things and saying, look, this is doing a podcast today with so-and-so. We're going to post it on Wednesday, da-da-da-da-da, and then I'll post a picture with the content.
Really?
So, Carlos.
Yes, sir.
Where were you? Can you talk about your story? Can you share your story over the weekend?
Oh, the weekend story? Sure. So, I was in New York City with my family. One of my close friends, happens to be...
Put on your safety goggles. Someone's about to drop some names.
Yeah, have you heard of Mick Jagger? No, I'm just kidding.
Wow. No. That is not fair.
Is he in Pearl Jam?
Oh, you're out again.
No, Neil Dana is one of my closest friends, and he's you would call him the co-founder or the first employee of GoPro.
That's awesome.
And he texted me. This is
that's why we had you here, Pat, because I'm not impressed anymore. We need someone that's impressed. You did a good job. Good job.
Yeah, all I get from Tom is, well, I'm just more jealous.
How come I didn't go?
Can't be happy for you.
Right. Neil is just, you know, he's retired now. He's been out of GoPro for a few years, like myself. And he always texts me or calls me like 3 days or 5 days, no more than a week before he's doing something cool. Yeah. Like as if I can just drop what I'm doing and go to Fiji with him and go surfing. You know what I mean?
You do.
So a week ago or so, he said, hey, man, I'm going to be in New York City. My buddy Perry has a amazing guitar collection that's going to be on exhibit. And they're doing a private show just for us. So I'm like, sure, why not? So, I said, first of all, I thought to myself, okay, at least New York is not like Indonesia,
sure,
right? Or you know, the Marshall Islands or whatever. So I said, okay, at least I can make New York. I think I can move some things around. I have to miss my Monday podcast with Tom.
He did.
And
he's like, oh, I want to be on the podcast. We're going to do this together. I'm like, great, man. Can't make that one, though. Yeah. And I can't make that one. And in fact, I'm not even going to make the next one. But after that.
So
I'm like, would you use to work for GoPro or something? Are you special?
Right. So at any rate, he invited me, and then I looked over at my wife and Amy. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to head to New York. She's like, well, I want to go.
Of course.
You took your wife over me?
And then my wife's like, well, the kids want to come. So and next, you know, thing. I called Neil back. I was like, well, hey, can I bring my wife and kids?
Who's paying?
So I said, sure. So anyway, we went up on Sunday? Yeah, Sunday. And I didn't really realize the magnitude of what he invited me to until I got there. So A, it wasn't just this like dude's collection of guitars. It actually happens to be the rock guitars, iconic guitars of the last 5 decades on display. Mm. And not just at any kind of room. It was at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Was there any Pearl Jam guitars?
No.
Then it was phony. It was fake.
So, like, we're talking about Jimmy Page's stuff. Wow. We're talking about Bruce Springsteen, Prince.
Pat, do you know who Jimmy Page is?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Because you're young.
The Beatles. I mean, like, literally, like, that's the cool. I have pictures on my phone. I'll show it to you guys. You know, the Beatles, like, their three-piece set. Now, Ringo's original drum kit with Paul McCartney's Hofner.
That's got to be worth something.
I mean, that whole room. I mean, there must have been, I don't want to say $100 million, $200 million worth of stuff in there.
That's incredible.
So I didn't realize, A, that it was, like, curated for all of these amazing, iconic artists, and B, it was at the Met. Mm. And not only was it at the Met in New York City, it was closed for us.
to the commoners, to the blue collar.
We walked up to the Met. The staircase was filled with people.
Wow.
Filled, right? And they're all just flushing out of there, right? I'm like, we're the only ones going in the Met.
What is the Met? Is
the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Oh, okay.
They call it the Met.
I'm sorry.
That's where the night at the museum... filmed in.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So huge museum. I mean, you could spend days in that place. It was gigantic.
Oh, that's cool.
So they had an exhibit, a rock and roll guitar exhibit, and the curator, his name was Jason, super nice guy. It took him like, I think, three or four years to collect and get these owners. Some of these owners were family, right? Some of these owners were corporate. Some of these owners were other artists owning other artists' guitars.
So were they all just brought together, or does the guy own all of them?
No. So they were also all. As we're talking about, I'll show you guys the pictures. They're all borrowed.
Okay.
They're borrowed.
Yeah, so he just brought all the different owners' stuff to one place at the Met.
It amazing. So like Eddie Van Halen's Frankenstein. You know, wow. He played Eruption.
Frankenstrat.
Yeah. You know.
Oh my God, I love that guitar.
Stevie Ray Vaughan's number one.
That's so cool.
You know.
Love Stevie Ray.
You know, there's Neil taking a picture of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
You taking a picture of Neil taking a picture of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then there's, yeah, so.
That's incredible.
That's, I can't remember who that is.
Did you fly your GoPro in there? Or no?
So that's Rolling Stone stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it was epic. You know, there's like a 1959 Gibson Les Paul.
Wow.
That's Jimmy Page's number one. That's his number one. This is the guitar.
Sunburst.
That started it all. The 1959 Gibson Les Paul Standard. That's the one that made this guitar, particular model, the iconic guitar. This is probably worth, if I were to take a wild guess, $5 to $10 million. Yeah.
5 to 10. That's a big span, though.
Yeah, okay, five to seven.
5 to 6, I could see. 5 to 10?
It was amazing. And
that's so cool.
Well, the reason why I'm taking a guess at that number is because Eric Clapton's, which is Blackie, which is on display here as well, Guitar Center bought that in an auction for one. This was back 7 years ago, 8 years ago, for $1.6
million. Wow.
Right? So, and then...
He lives up there.
Yeah.
Eric Clapton.
Oh, you talked to him recently? Or?
They were tight. No, but I've had a friend that, you know, he goes to a lot of meetings up there, and ends up, you know, they'll see Eric Clapton in the back, and he's just kicking.
Oh, up in New York.
Yeah, up in New York City. Mm-hmm. He just, you know, he's sober, so.
He's just chilling.
He works on sober stuff.
Yeah, he is sober.
And
yeah.
Other people that are working on sober stuff see him doing that, so it's cool.
Yeah, I was really blown away. That's Jimi Hendrix's original Flying V.
Wow.
Mm. I like how they have it. And Carlos is... showing us pictures of guitars. Mm-hmm. That's why there's this.
Yeah. There's Jimmy Page's Telecaster.
I like how they have the Flying V to the left.
The double neck, the original double neck SG that Jimmy Page played with. Stairway to Heaven, I think.
Yep.
Bruce Springsteen's 52 Telecaster.
Wow.
Or if it's 51, I can't remember.
By the way, Carlos, I brought you that movie right there. You need to take it and watch it.
All right. Joe Kidd.
Yeah.
On a stingray.
That's great.
Here's Neil.
That's so cool.
How long were you able to hang out in there?
It's me and Neil again. We were there from 5 to about 6:30-ish.
And so what? Would you guys get like a private viewing? And then afterward, everybody else got to go in?
Yeah, so private viewing, the curator of the collection gave us a tour, gave us all the background information of how he got the guitar and how he had to make phone calls and all this other stuff. And then we went to dinner to El Molino in the Upper East Side, which was a swanky restaurant. And it was really, really, that was a really nice dinner. So, the exhibit is actually open till October 1st. So I highly recommend it to those who are music aficionados and rock and roll historians. It's a great, great, great exhibit. I was really impressed. I've been to a bunch of guitar shows, just like regular convention center guitar shows, but that was something
about the guitar. I used to go to the guitar store and just hang out.
Yeah.
Just try them all. Hey, get off that guitar. Don't touch it. Don't touch that guitar.
Right.
Can you get that guitar down for me? No. Get away.
That was really nice. I'm really appreciative. Thank you, Neil and Lori, for inviting us up there.
And thank you, Neil and Lori, for listening to our podcast.
Sorry about my comments.
No more for you.
Yeah. What was that, speaking of Jimmy Page and guitars, that documentary? It was Jack White, the guy from...
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen that?
Uh-uh.
Super cool. Just three of the best guitar players in one room. The guy from U2.
Mm-hmm. Edge.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And they just sit around and like talk about guitars.
I don't particularly think the Edge is that great.
Well, he was there because he was like...
It's a unique sound.
Okay.
He's not the technical guitar player, but it's a pedal guy.
I didn't see Edge's guitar in there. Was Edge's guitar there?
I don't know if I saw any U2 stuff, actually.
Probably not.
The curator did say he had a hard... there was a lot of stuff that they wanted, but the artists are still currently using. Oh, like on tour and stuff.
True.
Which is why Pearl Jam, Mike McCready's always using his stuff. So they
could. Thank God, really?
And there was actually one guitar...
If the guitar's in there, it's not good.
right.
Well, and Eddie Van Halen, though, he's still... He's just not using Frankenstrat.
No, he's not using Frankenstrat anymore.
He's got those Wolfgang guitars.
Yeah.
Which are really nice.
There was one empty spot on the wall there. He's like, yeah, that guitar was sold at an auction. It was an empty spot next to these two iconic guitars. Like, they can't have guitars that are sold commercially available. So these guitars are supposed to be not on sale. So he did take this one. I don't know. He wouldn't tell me what it was, but it was apparently a pretty...
You would think they would sell it after it did its debut at the Met. Maybe it would create a little more value.
Yeah, but that was a good documentary. I did see that one.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. And, you know, to your point, it's kind of like Jimmy Page and Jack White just talking to each other the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And Edge is like, hey, I'm here, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Edge. I like the U2. I like early U2. At the end, I wasn't a big fan. I'm not a big fan, but... Early stuff, but you know, Edge is great. He's unique.
Mm-hmm.
No Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
He's no Randy Rhodes.
Right.
See, when I was a kid,
they did have Randy Rhodes as a guitar up there. The White Spiral Les Paul Custom.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, you were either Randy Rhodes or you were Eddie Van Halen, and I was Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
You know, that was my and my friend Mace. He was big Randy Rhodes fan, and I loved Randy Rhodes, but I just big, huge Eddie Van Halen fan. So I've always stayed that direction, but it wouldn't be... And we used to argue, Eddie's better than Randy. But it wouldn't be till later that I realized...
You know who these people are, Pat?
Are we talking over your
generational head there?
Do you know who Randy Rhodes is? I'm sorry.
Randy Rhodes, you might have to tell me.
Pat! You lied! It's terrible.
I mean, obviously I know Eddie Van Halen and Jimmy Page, but...
Man. Remember, we're the only generation extras in this room right now, pal.
Randy Rhodes was the guitarist for Ozzy. Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy Train.
Okay, oh my gosh. Cool.
He was the he died in an airplane crash.
Oh wow!
With they were just out goofing around in the airplane and crashed and died. Yeah. Wow. So he was he was awesome. That's and cool. It wouldn't be till later that I would realize that I think Randy Rhoads might have been technically a little bit better than Eddie. Eddie was flashy.
You think so? You think Randy Rhoads was better than Eddie?
I do.
Oh man, that's a tough one.
I don't know. Well,
that's another podcast right there.
You know, if I listen back, you know, to Eddie had some great, and this always used to be brought up. You know, he did the double tap. He had that thing, but he didn't invent that.
No, he actually talked about it at the Met.
Yeah, and he didn't even write Eruption. You know who wrote Eruption? You're supposed to say no. Who, Tom? Ace Frehley.
Because you know what? He talked about that in the video at the Met, how he got up with Eruption and how he didn't invent tapping. But he says, I'm just going to just do this. And he started playing Eruption.
Yeah.
It came across like he wrote it.
Nope. Ace Frehley wrote it from Kiss.
How about that?
So, but I loved Ace. I mean, I loved Ace Frehley, actually. But I loved Eddie Van Halen. I was a huge fan and always will be. But Randy Rhoads just did some stuff. He made that guitar.
Randy Rhoads is a phenomenal guitar player.
He was just really...
He was not as prominent at that time as
you know Eddie what I like. What I loved about Randy is he used to make.
Sorry, Pat, we're kind of in a early '80s, '70s tangent here.
It's all good.
What I loved about Randy is he would kind of make that guitar kind of whine or moan. You know, he just did these great sounds, and nobody else can do it. It's like Eddie Vedder. You know, Eddie Vedder sings, and then he makes little sounds.
So you connected some dots there with Ace Frehley. Do you know Mike McCready's lead on Alive, the lead that, I'm still alive, and he goes, yeah, and then he goes, that lead, that's an Ace Frehley lick on one of Kiss's songs.
Well, Mike McCready was a huge Kiss fan, huge Iron Maiden
fan. I can't remember
the
name of the Kiss song. But
I was at a Pearl Jam concert, and they started playing some Iron Maiden.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there is a Kiss song with the lead line, the lead solo, with exactly the same notes and tone as the Alive
was
solo.
Was there controversy?
No, Mike gave him total props on it.
Oh, he
He's
did?
Like, yeah. He's like, we wrote 10. Remember, we wrote 10 in a week.
Yeah,
you know. And I was supposed to write all these leads, and this is the song. This is the lead that was in my head, and it was Ace Frehley song and or Kiss song, and it worked with Alive.
I'm going to use this right now.
Repurpose.
Well, that's exactly what rock guitar, you know, especially and as a guitar, I'm a guitarist too. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination a great guitarist, but you know, we reuse quote unquote licks. You know,
so many leads you can write.
Right. All right. Oh, you can. The better you are, the more creative you can be. Sure. So, rock guitarists, it's very simple. It's a very simple, you know,
I love music.
Pentatonic rock scale.
But I'm learning and I'm finding that some of the music that comes out today, 10 years ago, would have been like a fraud. You know, when even at Firefly, were you there Friday?
Yes.
So what was it? Tyler, the Creator?
Yeah, Tyler, the Creator.
Tyler, the Creator, just played his record and sang along with it.
Yeah, but he's an awesome musician. I will vouch for Tyler, the Creator.
Oh, well, there it is right there, Pat. We got to vouch for.
He produces all of his own stuff. So sometimes it's hard for like a hip-hop artist to get up there and, you know, it's kind of like being a DJ.
Right.
Like, it's hard to perform live, but basically he's just kind of hyping people up about the music he's already produced.
So you're a big fan of Tyler, the Creator?
Yeah.
Because
I wouldn't say like huge fan, but I respect him.
When we were there, everyone's like, oh my God, Tyler, the Creator, he's so great. He's so great. Yeah. My kids were on the front rail. We were talking to this guy who was on the front rail next to him. He's like, Tyler, the Creator, he wrote all this great stuff in his yearbook about he was going to be a star and he's doing it. And I was like, oh, this guy sounds awesome. And I struggled with that one. I struggled with
like
that
most
guy.
People our age would.
Well, you know? Listen, man, I liked having... I mean, I didn't have... I'm glad you were there Friday. Did you see the record company?
I did not, no.
Did you see the Naked Party?
I did not. I think you asked me this yesterday.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Did you see TLC?
I did, of course.
Well, that was a mistake.
No, it was awesome.
But the year that Public Enemy was there, it was like 12 people there.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, we were getting hyped up for Tyler, the Creator. And then he came out, and I was just, my son goes, I go, what was your favorite group besides Panic? He goes, Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah. So I don't know who this cat is. Tell me who this is. DJ?
So, no, he's
got the computer tech guy. That's why you're here, to find out the information.
Well, I wanted to hear it from someone who was there.
He's a rapper. He's from California. He's from the group Odd Future Wolfgang. They kind of came up together in California. Frank Ocean was a part of them. If you know Frank Ocean.
I've heard that name.
The R&B singer.
I've heard Ocean.
Earl Sweatshirt. But they all kind of came up together in this group, and they would do like skate videos, and like they had a show on like Adult Swim and stuff like that. And he just, they all kind of went solo in their own ways. And he's been really kind of, you know, a little avant-garde, like kind of just weird. He wears this like almost Andy Warhol looking wig.
Yeah. So he, let me step in for a second. So we're waiting, and then his show starts, and he comes out, and they didn't drop the whole curtain. It's just the curtain. He's got just working with this, you know, sliver of stage.
Blank stage.
And he's wearing a Bob Andy Warhol white wig.
And like a, what was it, like a
pastel lime green suit.
Green suit.
Neon, yeah, highlighter green suit.
Yeah.
And he's like, I need a brush. And this girl comes out and she starts brushing his hair. I was like, oh, are you serious? And then the boom, I mean, the bass hit, dude, my teeth rattled.
Yeah.
My old man teeth rattled. It was like, wow. And I don't know. It just, I guess, just that little bit you just said, just that little bit of information you just shared, I'm almost, I started to even like the guy a little more. See, I didn't know anything about him.
Yeah, I think context helps with a lot of these artists, like knowing where they came from and why they do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, there's so much great music out there that, you know, to really stand out, you have to be kind of a freak.
Well, as Carlos would say, he would have probably went to get a beer. I actually stayed and watched him. So hey, I'm into it.
Well, good on you.
Yeah. Carlos would have been getting snacks.
Anybody, anybody want a beer? Anybody need a beer? Want a pretzel?
Yeah. Anybody need a $50 beer?
I'm going to be back in 45 minutes after the set.
And I was going to mention it yesterday, but I read an article. I may have mentioned it yesterday, but I read an article that said that food sales were down. I'm like, well, maybe $8 for a piece of pizza is part
expensive?
Of the problem.
Yeah, I didn't get a Firefly this year. Was it expensive?
It's expensive, yeah.
Beer's $20.
Yeah.
What is it? $8?
I mean, we had beer, like, in our little cabana thing, so I don't think we bought any. In the shelter.
Yeah.
Is that called the shelter? Are you kidding me?
Well, our campsite's called the shelter, and then we have, like, a little...
That is a family member there, bro. Take it easy.
Yeah, come on, dude. Come on. And then we have a suite.
I'm thinking Carlos Shelter. Nah, it's not going to work.
It was called the shelter.
Yes.
Yeah, the shelter. Because at the end of the night, you need to go home.
Bro, when you party like those boys, you need a shelter.
You do.
It's like an old babysitter. Come on now. Everybody in. But the food was expensive.
We should call this the Arcano cast.
Why? Am I hogging?
No. Like the shelter. The Arcano cast.
Dude, my ego's already big enough. I had trouble getting down the trail this morning with all those trees. Someone needs to back these trees up. I'm coming through.
Facebook Live.
Let's live it. No. Yeah, so, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, the food's terrible.
Wait a minute. I didn't think it was.
I thought it was.
Well, I thought the pizza was good.
I didn't have the pizza.
The lemonade was like straight out of a goddess's nipple.
Really?
Oh, it's delicious.
Tom, I mean, think about it, right? Firefly, compared to the festivals that you and I went to in the 90s.
Oh, I'm sure the food's way better than that.
Firefly's like, it's like going to the Hilton, man.
Yeah. I didn't even have a job in the 90s. I didn't
go to any festivals. Well, when I was waking you up on the park bench in the 90s.
What's up, bro? I just woke up from the festivals. A homeless festival.
I've been to like Folk Fest in the early 2000s, man. I mean, then you go to...
Was it good?
It's total granola and great music, but Firefly, man, like...
It's a little corporate.
Dude. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I've seen
I haven't been to Coachella, but I would imagine it's the same.
Like, I think it's a traveling festival. Honestly, I think it's the same because I just recently was watching a performance by Panic at the Disco at a different festival, and it looked like, you know, when he shows out the crowd, then you got hamburgers and buns and slices this and, you know, taco rolls. It's the same kind of food. Yeah. Same kind of setup, different location.
Banquet food.
I thought that the food at Firefly was all put on by local people.
Right.
It's not the case.
Some of it is, but not most of it. Yeah.
I don't think I saw one. I definitely didn't see one local business.
No, none that I knew other than
Dogfish. You didn't see Louis' Pizza there?
I didn't see Louis. I didn't see Grottos. I didn't see anything.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It was cool, though.
I didn't recognize, like, probably 85% of the bands on the list.
No, I wasn't like stoked about the lineup.
Well, and then, but I think, you know, for me, it was great because there were some bands I'd never even heard of, like the Naked Party and the Record Company. They were awesome.
Yeah, that's always the best part about going on a year where the lineup's not, like, necessarily something you're super excited about because you get to discover, like, smaller bands.
Yeah, well, like, my kids sat on the rail for 9 hours waiting for Panic, and they missed, like, the Naked
Party.
All these other bands. That's what would happen to Pearl. Can you imagine if Pearl Jam played Firefly?
That would be epic, man. You talk about there'll be a Generation X takeover.
That would be...
And all the millennials would be just flooding out to the gates, like, oh, we're out of here.
God, what would it take to have that happen?
Well, they do a few festivals. They just didn't do this. They didn't do this one, but they've done, like, I think they've done Coachella once. They've done a couple of big ones.
I can't
past.
Even imagine Eddie Vedder at Coachella. I feel like that would just eat his heart out.
Yeah, I don't know. They've done some festivals.
Yeah. I think they've done Bonnaroo quite a few
times. They've done Bonnaroo.
Okay, yeah,
right.
Bonnaroo. Yeah. They've done Pink Pop.
Oh, of course. Right, classic.
I'm just saying. Yep. That's the only one I knew.
Pink Pop.
I wanted to put something out there.
I wanted to contribute.
I love that. There's that one where he does, I think it's probably the first year they did Pink Pop, and he jumps into the crowd off the camera boom.
Right.
He slips. The fucking whole crowd falls over.
Ooh.
Dude,
that is scary. And he, you know what? He crawled out of there, and you could tell he's like, oops.
And he knew he's not about that today.
No, he is.
He's,
well,
after
those,
what happened, and, those rock slid.
The nine kids got killed.
He's not about that. So you hear on those live shows when he'll just stop and like, everybody take 9 steps back my count. One, like, you know, like whatever. And he's totally not about that. So
it can be pretty scary.
But have you seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Because there must be 100,000 people there. And there's a big camera boom that's filming the concert. And he climbs up over this huge crowd. And he's like, yeah. And then he jumps. And then you just see the whole crowd just fall down. I'm like, God.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah, back then, that's festival nuts, man. Pink Pop in 1992. Dude, you're on your own. Good luck, pal.
I saw this podcast with James Hetfield from Metallica, and he was talking, and it was a Joe Rogan podcast, and he's like, what's the biggest audience you've been to? And he goes, probably about 850,000 people in Russia. And they were showing videos of it. And, like, the Russian helicopters are flying over the crowd and, all the Russian police. And it was just...
That's pretty cool.
He said it was just crazy. But
nuts.
I guess that there's just nothing else to do in Russia. Just everybody go to the festival. Yeah, I think they just pushed down the fence and all went in.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened at Woodstock.
Yeah. Yep.
They just all went in. So forget it. They can't leave. We're coming in.
They didn't really have an entrance set up.
Did you go?
Yeah, I was there. It was pretty cool.
Did you go?
Where's that?
Woodstock. The Woodstock, last one.
I've never been to Woodstock.
Oh, I thought you said you went to Woodstock.
I thought you meant like the first one.
Have you guys ever been to a show where like the crowd kind of took over the whole concert and been like just tramples and stuff like that?
No. Have you?
I've been to one. Pearl Jam. Merriweather, 1998. I was on the lawn. Or 1996.
I was at that concert.
Yeah, you were in the pavilion.
That's right.
Yeah, you were in the privileged area. I was in the lawn with my cooler, and this is back in '96 when Pearl Jam barely played on the East Coast, and when they came on after the opening band, I think Fastbacks, remember, or Sonic Youth, I can't remember.
I think it's Fastbacks.
It was packed. Right, my buddy and I were college students. We got there. We're gonna beat the crowd. We're gonna get there. We're gonna cut school all day. We're gonna get there. We got there 8 o'clock in the morning, the beginning of the entrance to the lawn. Right, we're gonna get the front part of the lawn. We're gonna kill it. You know, so we got there. We brought just sat there all day long. They opened the gates up. We're all excited. Get to our little spot on the lawn. Watch the fast bash. Run to the bathroom a little bit. Come back, and then the lights go down. Pearl, their entrance song comes, and the whole lawn bum rushed the pavilion.
That's crazy.
Ran over security. It filled the aisles. My buddy and I got separated.
You know, now that you mention it, I remember that. I don't remember. I remember the aisles full.
Yes.
And I was like, why are all the aisles full?
Well,
why are these people getting in front of me?
The funny part is my buddy and I think we were like, yeah, we got there early. Well, we got separated. You know, my hat flies off. My cooler is gone. I basically didn't want to go up the front. I was like, no, I'm staying on the line. It's my ticket. You know, I was trying to be a good person. You know, I'm not going to try to take someone's seat, whatever. But jumping the fence, the whole, there was no, not even close to one security guard for every 100 people.
And that was the year that, that Pearl Jam was fighting Ticketmaster.
And
that's
yes.
You know, that's a great example that, you know, Ticketmaster, they do a lot. Security. Because we did that Pearl Jam podcast, and I shared that, you know, we we parked and left a little we left a little early because I'm like, oh, let's beat the crowd. Let's beat all these assholes in the aisles.
And who's the number one asshole?
And they not only were in the aisles at the show, they were parked in the aisles in the parking lot because we got to the car and there was
nowhere to go.
No, I mean,
had the car started.
There was no leaving. There was cars parked inside of the aisles of the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
So we never, I missed the, you know, last couple songs and we didn't even get to leave early.
It's brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah, so anyway, that was pretty wild being a part of that.
And it's scary when you get kind of little, you know, we're all tough guys. It's
an amazing
until
show.
Shit like that goes on. You're like, oh my God.
I'm afraid. Totally disorganized. There wasn't nearly enough security, and it was wild. And then, like, my most recent Firefly show, my buddy, my neighbor, and I, you know, he's like kind of, he still thinks he's my age. He thinks he's 28. He's like, hey, man, let's go to the front. And I remember who was playing. It was some big band. Let's go to the front. I'm like, all right, let's go to the front. I'm like, Steve, let's not go to the front, man. I don't want to get, you know, a bunch of like 20-year-olds, you know, beating me up and punching me in the back. And so we're standing there. He's like, no, we got to go, man. Next thing you know, I'm like, all right, standing. My hat gets knocked off, and then there's like a girl coming over the top of me. And Steve was like, all of a sudden we're carrying people. Like, I'm not even enjoying this anymore, man. I'm just carrying people.
Yeah. Well, and Friday, did you see AWOL Nation?
I did not, no.
Pat, where were you? What time did you get there?
He was working, man.
I was all over the place. But.
Well, AWOL Nation played before TLC, and he's like, how many people can we get surfing the crowd? I mean, they were literally like, you know, one after the other was coming across the top of the crowd. And then he's like, how many people can get on everyone's shoulders? And then, he, you know, everyone was on everyone's shoulders. So this guy was like promoting
anarchy, you
know, bad behavior.
Crowd surfing can be a good thing, though. I mean, I my first year at Bonnaroo, I just graduated high school and drank a lot that first Thursday night. And I was like not feeling too hot, and all the way up front for it was Kendrick Lamar when he was on the small stage, like before he really blew up.
Are you a fan of Kendrick Lamar?
I love Kendrick Lamar.
Do you like more like rap kind of music?
I like a little bit of everything.
Okay.
I mean, I do like hip hop though. But long story short, I was feeling really shitty, and my friends were like, "We'll crowd surf you out of the crowd," because there was no way I was walking out. So they lift me up and say, send them to the back. And they all crowd surf me to the very back of the stage.
I would have surfed to the front because then they'll let you out.
Well, but you weren't feeling well.
We were on the fence.
Oh.
We had gotten all the way to the front at that point.
We were at the rail.
So, like, yeah, we were on the rail. So there was really no getting out of there at that point. So thankfully, I was.
Did you surf all the way out?
I did, yeah. It was amazing. And then once I got
out... That is wild, man.
Once I got out, these guys were like, hey, man, here's some water. Like, you okay? And I was like, yeah. I was just, like, really, like, not feeling it up there.
You didn't mind losing your wallet and getting pickpocketed?
No. Groped.
Yeah. You know. It's whatever. It's
hands all over you.
It's all part of the crowd surfing game, you know?
I guess if you hit up in the crowd surf, you pretty much put all the rules away.
Yeah.
You're gonna get felt.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the game.
Have you ever crowd surfed?
No.
I have neither, man.
I haven't either.
No way. Right.
But probably because I see the guy that's like, yeah, plop. Yeah. Like, ooh, that hurts. Right to the ground.
More like that scene in like Spider-Man where they're like carrying his limp body through the through the subway. So
that's neat.
We used to thrash, you know, do mosh pits back in.
Yeah,
we never crowd surfed.
Pink pop and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was always, I got some injured ribs.
Yeah.
At a Metallica show.
I haven't seen much moshing lately. I think it's kind of. Depending on the show, I guess, but not really at festivals anymore. Do you see?
Yeah, no. And this was this was Metallica.
Yeah,
this was
at
Slayer and Megadeth.
For sure.
You know, when I was younger, I was definitely more heavy. You know, like the
no moshing at Vampire Weekend.
No. So. There was moshing at Slayer and Megadeth and Alice in Chains.
I bet.
That's a concert I got to see before he passed away, Lane Staley.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I never saw those guys.
That was a great show. I saw that in San Diego. But, you know, that was definitely... And, you know, when you talk about, you know, the hip-hop, you know, I grew up on Dre.
Yeah,
you know, the
sure,
Chronic.
Me too.
And
sure.
That was... And I love that music, but it seems like it got... But I think that's Snoop Dogg, right?
Yeah.
that's a different record, right?
But that same time, that's
oh my god,
totally into
they were on 2001 together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, I came across. I moved from San Diego to Delaware listening to Snoop Dogg. It took 5 days. A girlfriend, two cats, a car trailer, and a little bit of dry goods.
Get you,
my devil days.
I remember coming across sober days.
No, anti-sober. Came across, dude. We were so wound up. We were coming across the Bay Bridge Tunnel out of Norfolk in February, 1994. We had that huge ice storm in February.
Right.
I'm coming across that Bay Bridge in a 17-foot U-Haul with a car trailer, two cats, and a tweaking girlfriend.
Slow down, I can't find a vein.
No, but hey, we didn't do that. So, but this huge sheet of ice on the hood of the freaking car, of the U-Haul, I'm halfway across the Bay Bridge, and it just this truck goes by, whoosh, the whole thing flips up, hits the windshield. I'm like, it's like John Candy swerving side to side on the Bay Bridge. That was crazy.
Lloyd.
Do you remember? I don't know. You might not have been alive then, but it, you know, all the trees were broken in Sussex County from that ice storm.
I was actually born, March.
From that ice storm.
95.
Yeah. March 94, right after that storm.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy I moved here in 94 and now I'm having a podcast with somebody that was born a month later.
BB baby.
I got a couple BB babies.
Yeah.
It's getting old. So, what's next on your... I mean, you got some stuff working now for the Shaw Brothers?
Yeah, currently doing this year's Firefly recap video.
Okay.
So it's...
How much time do you spend editing?
A lot, because it's like a bunch of different interviews that I have to work through. So each interview is usually about 20 to 30 minutes long, and then I edit through those. And
you should have done like a little documentary video about you coming to do the podcast.
I should have, yeah. I don't, yeah.
So who is this? So what is this content for?
So as part of Shell Brothers, we promote kind of just like our culture and our brand through our event videos. So that's one of the more important things that I do is event videos that kind of recap our different events that we do all throughout the year. And one of the big ones is Firefly. A lot of people see that on like our LinkedIn page of all places and are like, can I come work for you guys?
And this is
like,
for Shell. This is for the.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So it's on our website and everything, and we promote it. Like, it's not like something we hide.
No. So, it's a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. It's a lot of effort. You know, think about what they're trying, you know, from a brand perspective, they are promoting their event brand or their brand through their event.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and
well,
culture.
I think they also have a lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see a good percentage of our homeowners want to buy into that as well and want to be like a part of that family and like party.
Well,
crew.
And I said yesterday, I think they do a terrific job of making people feel a part of, you know, just like the signs. A couple of normal Joes, you know, have a nice quote on a, you know, we bought an amazing house and we're just great to be, you know, it's like, it's humanizing stuff. And we mentioned yesterday, you know, we've beat the local thing into the ground. You know, we know we want to be local, but then we want to start, you know, taking care of our local, like Project Kudos. I thought it was a great idea with the fact that, you know, teaching or not teaching, but having people compliment other people. You know, it's sometimes can be strange to do that. You know,
yeah.
it's not sitting at the surface of me to go, hey, man, great job. You know,
yeah, sure.
I'd rather just walk by and, you know. So it's nice to see starting from the young kids, teaching kids that, it's okay to, you know, it's tell other people they're doing a good job.
For sure.
You know, taking care of local.
Absolutely.
Because local, we know we want to do local.
Yeah.
Local's been the message for a while.
We want to show our appreciation for all the local businesses and stuff like that.
So. And I think they also do a great job just showing that it's a big family at Shell.
Yeah, for sure. For for sure.
And we've been invited in. Oh, thank you. Yeah,
you guys are now a part of the family.
I was a skew. Now I've been adopted.
Now we're tenants.
Now we're tenants. I can't wait to show up for the next party.
You can mail your checks.
Ooh, that's where we have a problem.
Your monthly dues are...
Oh, dues. Yeah,
send them right to me.
Doofies, not good. Doofies.
Pat's here to collect.
Yeah.
There was a little drama over here yesterday.
Was it?
After you guys left.
No way.
And I'm going to tell the story. And if the description seems... it's nothing personal. So yesterday after we did the podcast, I go outside and there's this, and please nobody be offended, but a giant fat kid running across the grass. And when I use that word fat, I mean like really big.
Obese.
Like obese.
Augustus Gloop.
Yes. No, bigger.
Oh, wow.
With no shirt, in shorts, running across. And what time do you guys leave? Like 1 o'clock?
Yeah, right around there.
The peak of the heat. And I look at this guy, and he's running. And you know what happens when that happens. There's movements. Mm-hmm. Things are moving. And I was like, oh, my God, good for this guy. You know, he's taking over. He's, you know, taking his life back. And he's running, and then he goes across the grass and down between the buildings without shoes on. So he's running down the blacktop without shoes.
Burning himself.
I'm like, man, this guy's really dedicated. So I'm like, I don't think about it. And then I look a couple minutes later, and there is a state police over here.
Ooh.
And I was like, wonder what's going on with that. Yeah, I'm a little nosy. Yeah, interested. Sure. So I look out the back door, and the large gentleman, young kid, I'm going to say he was 15, was laying on the hood of a car, screaming, "Let me in." And I'm like, what is going on? He's like, my feet are burning. And so, of course, I grab a seltzer right away. I'm gonna quench them feet. Shake it. So I start heading. I grabbed a seltzer. I'm like, man, this kid's, you know, regardless of what's going on, he's got to be overheated.
Yeah, sure.
So I start heading over there. His grandma, he finally gets off the car. He's laying back here somewhere. His grandma drives up. She's like, the police are on their way. Apparently, it's a, you know, a grandmother taking care of a kid, and it's gone awry.
He's running away.
Yeah, he was running for her. I said, okay, great. So, and then he starts walk. She drives off to find the cop. He walks by. I'm like, seltzer?
No.
He didn't want it. He didn't have any interest in the seltzer. And then he goes over here, and then two more state police come, and they end up taking him away. But I was like, crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like midsummer heat drama. I don't know if the heat caused it.
The heat does cause things like that.
Tom's like, seltzer? Carrots? Celery?
Refreshments? Well, and then this morning I'm out here and the Tidewater guy's like, and this is kind of an interesting, I'm going to break some news right now.
Uh-oh.
The guy this morning.
Breaking news.
The guy this morning goes, I need to turn the water on for one of the units here. And I'm like, well, I've been here. They've been here. They've been here. The people upstairs, there's no people new. The Dagwoods is closed. And I go, seltzer? He's like, sure. So I got the Tidewater man, a seltzer. And then I went back out there. And then I went back there, and he goes, yeah, it's the space at the very end. So maybe there's someone coming in.
Oh, wow. Is it, what's it, what was in there prior?
Dagwoods. It was a, you know, sandwich shop.
Okay.
Well, I think I heard it was going in there. I think it's David Thomas Salon, I believe.
David Thomas Salon? Well, the Thomas David Salon's already here.
I'm not kidding you. I think it's David
Thomas. Well, that would be a little bit ego, right?
That would be something. I'm renting both spots now, right, Tom?
Oh, no, I see what you're going to do. I see what you're doing. That would be that's like over there, the strip mall over there by Waves. They have two salons in there.
Oh, right.
Wow.
The one guy said, I don't care if another one comes in. And then the other one came in, and then the guy sold it. And then these people were like, why is there another one in there?
Right. Like Sodell with their two restaurants right next to each other, the brewery and the Blue Coast, I think it's called.
Yeah, no.
Blue Coast, it's Thompson Island. Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be delicious. Maybe you can do, well, you don't work for any, you don't do separate stuff. You just only do stuff for Shell, right?
No, I do side projects.
Oh, you do? So,
yep.
So you could do like a little commercial or something for somebody if they were looking for it?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your favorite stuff to shoot with your drone? I mean, I sent you a couple of videos. I sent the same things to Carlos, but he never looked at them.
Oh, I did too.
Come on, Carlos.
He didn't even say good job or anything.
He's like making sure the red stamp is on the text. Yeah.
Look at it, man.
Where are the three dots? Darn it. Where are they? Come on, Carlos.
Just wait for him. I actually, I know you're not on Instagram, but I have.
How old do you think we are, man?
Well, we still have our MySpace.
Well,
I mean, I thought you might be on Instagram, but he told me he wasn't.
I just deleted Instagram yesterday, but I'm thinking about bringing it back.
Got to. I have...
Tom still uses MySpace.
Well, and you know what? I saw something, and this is, I think, the thing I saw last night, is there's these two young girls that every night they read storybooks on Instagram, too. Instagram TV.
IGTV.
IGTV. Yeah. They read because they're like, parents, I know parents are busy, so wow. You need someone to read to their children. So these two little girls are reading. I'm like, well, maybe I need to get Instagram again. One day.
I just like it. I mean, especially for people my age, it's kind of like.
I might have been on my period. I might have been menstruating that day.
Yeah. Sometimes you just get angry at the world and you take it out
be
on.
Be careful with Tom because he'll end up building his own Instagram.
But anyway, I have this page, Delawareal, and it's just kind of. I just started it not too long ago because I was posting stuff just on my my personal page, but I figured might as well.
You know, it's funny because I had the drone and I had it for about, I still have it, but I flew it for maybe about a year and a half and I flew over all this stuff. You know, you only have so much stuff here that you can,
it's
and that's
true.
Kind of the other thing that I've kind of, the reason I'm not droning as much is because I've filmed it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Delaware's a small place, man.
I was trying to ask people like,
a lot
of
great stuff though.
Oh, beautiful.
Where should I go next? Like,
what's next?
Yeah.
You know, there's some great, you know, where, what's the boat place up there towards Milford on the right? You know what I'm talking
Towers?
About? Towers? No, they sell boats.
Marine something?
Yeah, yeah, Shorts Marine.
Yeah.
If you park there,
yeah,
fly both sides of that, there's some great stuff. Dead trees, okay. A lot of water, yeah. A lot of winding.
Yeah. So don't you guys find like dawn and dusk is still a good time to do it, even during the summertime?
It's golden hour is always, always prime time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I always prefer the color temperatures in like the fall and spring. I think it's a little too hazy in the summer.
Right.
Like it's kind of too blue for me.
Well, and so after doing everything I've done, I've kind of had to, you know, start being a little bit more selective. And some of the stuff that I was trying to do, and I'm considering getting another drone, is that, but you know, like right when the leaves start to appear in the spring, where you can still get, you know, the depth of seeing through like trees without leaves.
Yeah.
But then with the leaves that are starting to come, you still get the leaves. So just trying to get the depth into the woods.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, when there's no leaves, you can clearly take a picture into the woods. But when that balance starts to change and then you can't see into the woods, I was trying to do some stuff like that. I did some drone stuff with and I told you yesterday when they, I guess it was wheat or alfalfa or whatever they just harvested a couple weeks ago and they leave the bales out.
Okay, yeah.
I did some drone stuff with that. I like that, you know, because I always drive by. I was like, damn, I wish I had my drone. That is a great shot.
Yeah.
And this is the first year they bailed it in squares. They used to do it in the rolls.
That's what you were saying.
And the rolls, and either of you guys watch Tour de France?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they still roll it up in France.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been showing a lot of those shots of those rolled up bales and the lines from
it's
harvesting
cool,
it.
Cool shot.
Lance Armstrong, sure. Lance Armstrong, win again?
Yeah.
Did Lance Armstrong win again?
I actually saw him doing like commentary on the Tour de France.
Oh, he did.
And I thought that was an interesting choice.
I thought so. That's interesting. Yes, I thought he was banned from cycling for life.
And I don't know who brought him on, but I think I was at Matt's Fish Camp yesterday after the podcast. We got lunch and I'm like watching the Tour de France and then Lance Armstrong comes up talking. Mm-hmm. I was like, really?
I think the issue with Lance Armstrong, it's not what he did. It's just that his denial and the amount of people that he tried to take down, his just...
Yeah, vicious.
Yeah, his viciousness is what got his ass in trouble. I mean, somebody was saying, maybe it was you, that they had to go back 13 spots to finally give somebody the win.
The actual win.
Because the 12 guys behind Lance Armstrong were all doping too.
Right. Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they're not doping now. I mean, how do you...
They are.
I watch and I go, how?
Well, they look at the list that they're testing for and then... they'd take the other list. Well, you know?
And there's this, did you see that thing on Netflix called
Icarus?
Icarus.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Did you see it? Mm-hmm. It's this guy that basically tries to do, it's funny, that show, it starts off as one show and then it kind of ends up as a different show.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
But he basically tries to do the same, he runs in the, it's not the Tour de France, it's basically 7 days of the hardest hills of the Tour de France. And he rides the race and finishes not bad, the 20th. In the race of, I don't know, however many it was. In the following year, he tries to do the same regiment of doping that Lance Armstrong does. He brings in this guy from Russia that helps him.
The guy that, like, invented a lot of that stuff, yeah.
And he does the same regiment and finishes worse the following year. Doesn't even do as well.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that you're... I guess I can't say it doesn't matter, but it... Doping isn't going to guarantee a win.
No. I mean, you still have to be an exceptional athlete. But
yeah. Well, and you have to be smart, and there's a lot of tactical stuff. Yesterday, sure. I watched the, yesterday was the sprinters finish. And, you know, they have this whole plan. They got, you know, their sprinters that they're... And it's crazy how they have these guys that they're only just there to ride them out to the end, and then they just start peeling off, and then the sprinters go out. It's crazy. And then after all those miles, they sprint like madmen.
It's wild.
Some amazing mental fortitude.
Well, and if you do you watch it some?
Yeah, just when I catch it. I don't have cable at home, so.
Well, the camera, you know, it's that great that slash shot. You know, with Slash on the Mountain where he's in focus, it's a far distance zoomed in panning around, and it's always that, you know, the cool little guy in focus, but the huge areas that are I don't know what you call it. I'm sure there's a name for that shot, but it's beautiful. And, that helicopter, he always flies sideways, you know. You would think it would be forward, but he always flies sideways.
Did you want to take a sponsorship break here for Rehoboth Social?
Sure.
Thomas David?
Do we have any? Did you write anything up for that?
Corporate? Just our typical.
I know. Why don't you be the commercial guy?
Okay.
Well, I will say, you know, we're posting all of our podcasts on the Rehoboth Social app. Mm-hmm. It's a simple app. We don't track you. It's a fun way. We're working on a mailbag. Carlos keeps telling me that we need a mailbag, and we're working on it. I've done nothing towards it today, but I'm going to be working on it.
He's anti-inbox.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but if you really have something to tell us, you can message us through the app. Don't laugh. You hate the app, don't you?
I love the app.
It's the same reaction I get with everybody.
But what is the email address for Rehoboth Social?
I don't think there is one.
Okay, go to the app store.
It's the instant messaging on the app. That's an email.
His personal on the card.
Your personal email right here. But yeah.
I'm going to need you to download the app, and I'm going to watch you do it.
How do I download this app, Tom?
Go to the app store.
Okay.
I'm going to walk you through it on air. Go to the app store.
Sure.
And type in Rehoboth Social. This is where Carlos gets confused. When you see it, hit
you
the
You are
going
to send us an email, Pat, whether you like it or not.
You guys are lucky there's a millennial here to help you through these things.
Right.
Millennials are all right. Snowflakes are... It's too hot for them.
It's too hot.
But yeah, so we're working on it. And I told you yesterday in private that we were going to try to get a new email. And I got to figure that out. But we're going to
I'll help with that. That's easy. I'll help with
that. Well, then we need a website.
Well...
Right. We can use Audio Boom for now.
If you guys ever need assistance.
There you go.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There you go.
I do
more tech guru than I am.
What kind of assistance? You can help us with like a website and stuff?
Yeah. Actually, as part of my side gig, I do digital marketing and other kind of...
All we can offer you is a sponsorship. All we can offer you is a mention. We can't pay you.
Pat's side business is, shellsite.com and shelldigital.com.
But I will, we will give a shout out to Project Kudos, www.projectkudos.com.
Pat, what's your personal website?
PatrickCGallagher.com.
There you go. PatrickCGallagher.com.
Working on a better name. So
we'll have you back on, man. Do you have anything to add about Thomas David at all? What's going on there?
Thomas David Salon, always looking for, we got two opportunities for chair rental. Come to the salon, get your own key.
Beautiful salon.
It's a great place if you one day you want to own your own salon. It's a great place to transition from being, you know, someone that works for a slave driver and to your own salon. You get to have the responsibility of your own place, but I have to pay all the bills. So.
Slave driver to slumlord.
Hey-o! That's terrible. I'm not a slumlord. Actually, I just put an ad out for that. We'll see. Because
beautiful salon. I would say the only salon in the country with a podcast studio. Hey!
Well, you know what? And I posted that. We will give podcast support. Anybody that comes to work at the Thomas David Salon
there you go.
Will Bang. Be on the podcast, yeah. And we will give them a shout-out, and they can go out to the rest of the world.
All right.
So I
are we
think
wrapping
I'm,
it up?
I think
it
up I get roll. The app, yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, you get the app offline. Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
It's not bad.
It only took me the end of that conversation to get it. So
all right, guys. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Pat. We'll have you on again, man.
Absolutely.
We'll
have, all right, yeah, thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.